So Rav Kluger has a Sefer Yisrael Bechiri. I don't have it?
Not yet.
Kluger would write Torahs about
okay.
dealing with the aftercare.
So it's an amazing Sefer. It's a complicated Sefer. It's all about Bechira and Yediyah. And the balance between the two. And really, if man has the ability to choose, how does that work with Enod Movado? And man doesn't have the ability to choose, so then what am I doing here? And he spends a lot of time developing in a very methodical way. It's a very interesting sefer. Spent a lot of time with it on Shabbos. But in Perichav Aleph, he talks about the simcha of being a yid. And I think it's a basic yisur that we always have to come back to. And to live a life of pnimius. So he says the following. Chaim pnimius. Yesh tachas Hashemesh beiz darchei chayim, pnimi v'chitzoni. There's two ways to look at oneself and to look at life. There's the inside view and then there's the outside view. V'hanechshav, just to give everyone a sense of where we're going. If Kluger's going to talk Dvarim Pshutim Admor, he quotes Likutei Moran, Lamed Daled, and Memches. He references half a line for them. But that's it. He quotes maybe one or two psukim, maybe one Maimer Chazal. Okay, but he's just talking very emistic, and as he'll say throughout the piece, the more you actually believe this, the more you can live with this. And if you don't believe it, then it's not going to help you, and you'll think that this is so nice if Kluger is just trying to make us feel good. But he's not. He's trying to teach us how to look at ourselves in a pnimi type of way. Okay, so he says, so there's an inside track, there's an outside track. V'anechshav shleimus v'atzlacha ba'olam ha'pnimi hu inyan acher legamri mehagdaras v'shleimus v'atzlacha ba'olam ha'chitzoni. How we view success when a person has a view through the lens of pnimius, and how we view success when we buy into the world's understanding and view of success is radically different. Hamishalchem lefnei Hashem b'artos ha'chayim, chayim b'stakvus ha'pnimius, la'hachshiv es ha'nechshav b'enei Hashem. When a person asks himself, does Hashem consider this to be hatzlacha? But now what does the world say? I've heard the world means two things here. The world's going to mean the world of my fellow Jews, and the world means obviously the world at large. But when a person wants to walk with Hashem, and he wants to see things in a way of pnimius, and he wants to consider important that which Hashem considers important, u'ki'ilu chayim kvar ba'al madasa, as if he's living, ki'ilu he's living fully with Hashem in the world to come. To be able to detach himself from what the world considers to be great success. And by the world, success has to be great. There's no such thing as small success, that's not success. There's no such thing as incomplete success, that's not success. You have to have shleimus, you have to have big success. That's in the eyes of the world. By Hashem, a person again who has an insider's view, it's not true. Says Rav Kluger in the second paragraph. V'amnam einam nechshavim mitzlachim b'enei abrios. Achayim ba'olam pnimi b'enam lakonam v'zeh kol chayim. There are people who again are detached from the public opinion and are not impressed by what the world considers to be success. And they don't care how anyone views them simply because they know they walk with the Kaddish Baruch Hu. They live in an inner world between them, the individual lives in a world between himself and his creator. And that's his entire existence. They know, regardless of what anyone else thinks, they know that when they do an act of chesed, that HaKadosh Baruch Hu views that as a great thing. So by the world, they may not put up a plaque saying, wow, look, he gave a penny to tzedakah. But in Hashem's eyes, a penny to tzedakah, a mitzvah saseh, daraisa, of giving tzedakah, okay, so they're going to put your name on a plaque on the wall if you gave a dollar to tzedakah now. But a Jew should be able to live off of that with tremendous joy. Because in Hashem's eyes, that's a great accomplishment. V'zokvar tavi simcha b'libam. Lima torah shal eichas v'dveikus b'Hashem yisbach. Af ki lo haya gadol b'kamas shos odafin. Let's say a person learns. And he doesn't learn necessarily many hours or many pages of Gemara, but he learns. Gorim lehem simcha kamotze shal rav. A person, again, who's an insider, feels tremendously uplifted by that. Halavai, I should study one word of Torah Hashem. There should be another copy going around. You got one, John? Yeah. Term of Kluger's Sefer Yisrael Bechiri, the first volume. So he doesn't care that he doesn't know as much Gemara as his neighbor. The bottom line is, he's zochet to learn Torah Hashem, and he feels tremendous simcha from that. Kamotzei shal rav, like a person who found a great treasure. Kol yegia b'srachus min harav iskar b'sal tov. Anytime he detaches a little bit from something negative and moves a little closer towards something positive, even if it's a tiny, tiny measure, he knows he's not a shalim. He knows he's not a tzaddik in the biggest sense of what the word tzaddik means. But he says, wow, in Hashem's eyes, this is such a great accomplishment. That ma'at by a tzaddik is a big deal. Pasuk says, Tov ma'at le tzaddik. It's a pasuk. Tov ma'at le tzaddik. The tzaddik values the ma'at. Od ma'at ve'in rasha. Right? There are many pasukim that talk about the power of the ma'at, a little bit. But again, only a person who has the right perspective understands the value of ma'at. So it says, Rav Kluger, Chaim Eila. When a person can train himself to really live this way, not in an apologetic, make yourself feel good, even though it's not true kind of way. In a way, because it is true. That every bit of every crumb of ruchnias is a davar gadol. B'staklus pnimus v'skashus tzadikim, yesh bem simcha de kedusha, roma masruach v'chedvas hanefesh, simchas chayim v'or pnimi haruim l'chol yehudi b'asher hu. Chayim shaleim amru, about such a life it is said in Pirkei Avos, yofesh sha'achas v'tshuva maisim tov b'olam hazeh, v'kol chayim haba. Where a person feels he has exactly what he needs in this world. Okay, let's go a bit further. Avodas Hashem pnimus. So with this we begin to enter into that world of inner service of Hashem, where it's underlined. Now here's why I picked this piece. A Jew becomes a person who wants to be a great Jew. So maybe it used to be, once upon a time in my life, I didn't really care if I was a great Jew. That wasn't a goal of mine, to be great in Gemara, to be great in Davening, to be great in Chesed, to be great in the Avodas Hashem. Maybe I didn't care for those things. I wasn't focused on those things. But now, right, let's say I love sports. Yeah? So I was very into sports, and I liked playing sports, and I liked following sports, and I wanted to be great at sports, and I knew which players were great at sports, the teams that I liked. So the problem is, says Rav Kluger, so now you've gone from the world of chitzonius greatness, and now you're striving for ruchnius greatness, which is gavaldik. The problem is, you brought in your definition of greatness from the olam chitzonius to your olam pnimi. And that can totally cripple you as you try to become a person who's a baal madrega, quote-unquote, in ruchnius. Not realizing that a baal madrega in ruchnius is a person who gives a penny to tzedakah. And a baal madrega in ruchnius is a person who's zochet to daven one word of tefillah. Be'emes, and talk to a Kadosh Baruch Hu. That doesn't mean I don't strive for more. That doesn't mean there aren't greater levels. But to feel besimcha, to feel a sense of shleimus, even in a small thing, a yafa sha achas b'tshuva maisim tovim. So look, let's read the words again, where it's underlined. Sharei lecha mishin es alam in a chitzonius el pnimius. You have a person who came up from the world of chitzonius into the world of pnimius. Achbav a kli achitzonius biyado. But he brought along the kli of chitzonius, the measuring cup, so to speak, of chitzonius, he brought in his hand. Yeah.
The Rebbe's clearly standing here that, like, a lot of people's problems why I don't think they're in the sticky union is because they compare themselves to other people.
Well, we're going to get to compare ourselves to other people. That's a big part of this, yeah. First is without comparing ourselves to anyone specific, but just the world's version of success always means, like, something very grandiose. And in ruchnius, it's not true. In ruchnius, every bit is tremendous success. The drop of water has the entire ocean. Yeah? Every letter of Torah contains kol Torah kula. So from zochet to learn one letter of Torah, but I didn't... It's only one letter of Torah. What do you mean? You made contact with kol Torah kula. You made contact with the infinite one. You made contact with the Ohr Ein Sof. So again, a small thing in ruchnius is not a small thing. I don't know, I think I once told you the story of Chalap. Of Yaakov Moshe Chalap, I read in his biography, the Hebrew biography. Judah gave it to me a couple years ago. It's beautiful. Beautiful sefer put out by his grandson or great-grandson.
The big picture.
Yeah, with the big picture on the cover and all the pictures of a lot of pictures. Really good. Wide range of, obviously, Kedarko Bakodesh of Chalap. You know, a wide range of Torah personalities cited throughout. It was written by, you know, his grandson who wrote the book, or great-grandson, where's the Kippah Sugaz, Israeli guy. Very broad world. So anyways, in that sefer, it tells the story how Chalap one time went on a Motzei Shabbos. He wanted to see how a certain Chassidus Rebbe made Havdalah. And he heard there was something special about this rebbe. Now he couldn't get in for whatever reason, so he climbed up on the windowsill outside this rebbe's window to try to see how he made Havdalah. Like with great effort. And they said to him, the family said to him, or one of his contemporaries said to him, what are we making such a big deal out of? Rav Chalap used the Lashon, I don't remember the exact Lashon, but part of the expression was, it's worth it to do whatever it takes just to be able to receive a crumb of Ruchnias. That's what he said. A crumb of Ruchnias. He said, anything is worth it for a crumb of Ruchnias. What does it mean, a crumb of Ruchnias? It's exactly what Rav Kluger is saying here. A crumb of tzedakah, a crumb of Torah, a crumb of tefillah, a crumb of Yiddishkeit is a very big deal. So therefore, a person comes from the Olam Achitzoni to the world of Pnimi, and he has his measuring cup in his hand, the measuring cup of the world. The Heinish Mavakish Ata Lahasik Pnimius Al Yideis Taklus Chitzonis Shel Einei HaOlam. He wants to attain success, in the world of Pnimius, but with a perspective, an orientation towards greatness that's totally been defined and shaped by the outside world, by physical eyes. Kigon. He wants great success. Right? He wants great achievement. Because that's what the world considers to be great. So says Rav Kluger, an interesting thing. So how does that shift take place? How does a person change his perspective and his orientation towards what is the definition of being successful? He says sometimes it's the Yisurei HaNefesh that cleanse one's perspective and brings one into an inner worldview. What does that mean? Leval yedaber svas gedolos b'avodas Hashem. B'yishalchus b'makom ha'gavoah mikafi arka. When a person stops, and again, sometimes when we get a person started in the Avodas Hashem, maybe we all can relate to this on some level, you go to Eretz Yisrael Shana Aleph, right? And you start getting into it, and, you may get an idea in your head, and maybe certain people play such an idea in your head, of what it means to be successful. What the top guys who ever came through the same yeshiva that you're in, where they're holding them. And how many pages of Gemara they're learning. And how lofty they are in their Avodah. So when a person gets caught up in that, it can become very crippling. Right? So as a person undergoes that transformation, he says, where he's no longer talking about of these like lofty madrigas and avodas Hashem, and he's no longer striving for levels that are beyond him. Again, if it's the level that's shaykh to you, then strive for it. The problem is, too many people think that success is only defined by Rav Eliashiv. So yes, Rav Eliashiv was a very successful Jew, and if you have within you to do that, you better do that. You better do that. You better find it to do that. And a person has to be careful not to sell myself short. And not to say, well, every crumb of Ruchnias is a big deal, so if I have a drop of the ocean, then I have the whole ocean. Of course we don't abuse this idea. But a person has to know his madrega. He says where it's underlined. Elechayos boas and akudas ahove shalo. To live in the moment in which he's meant to be living in. Hanakuda shayachas libo beis hazos. Lekutim maran kama lamadalad. And it's one of the places where Nachman talks about each person being like a melech and having his malchus. And your malchus is what's shayach to you. Imena nili mili. If I'm not going to be true to me, no one else can do it. If I pretend to be something I'm not, then I'm failing. Then I'm failing in my mission in this world. She yamin b'makom she'omid bo be'emes. To believe in the place that he's standing be'emes. And not always to dream and to long to be somewhere else. But to be able to embrace the moment that he finds himself in. The reason this piece comes up in the Sefer is because this is exactly the theme of the Sefer. Of Yisrael Bechiri, this balance again between Yediyah and Bechira, the ability to choose. And on the one hand, I'm actively making choices. On the other hand, HaKadosh Baruch Hu kind of has the final say on things. So the fact that we're sitting here in Washington Heights right now, the fact that you're in YU, let's say not in Eretz Yisrael at this moment, right? On the one hand, yes, that's a choice that you've made, for a variety of reasons. On the other hand, there's a reality that that's how it has to be. You know how I know that's how it has to be? Because that's what it is. Because that's what it is, Lemaisa. So says Rav Kluger, to believe in the place that a person stands, be'emes, at that moment, v'yavin kama gadol v'yakar b'nei Hashem kol tenua ketana b'nefesh v'maisa. And to realize the value of what I'm doing. But I remember there was a time when I was X, Y, or Z. Again, if that's shaykh to always live on that madrega that you're reminiscing about, then good, then you should live that way. But if it's not shayach, and you're just fantasizing over like that great time, that time when I was a Baal Madrega, but now I've been reduced to a nobody, a nothing, just a guy in college, you know, who tries to learn a little bit on the side. But I remember when I was Shana Bet, I had that week that was like the best week of my learning and davening my life. Okay. Shayach. Like, learn to adapt to that. Learn to adjust to that. Learn that success is not only defined by how much and how big and what people think about it. So a person finds himself with his internal struggle, this internal stiros. Do I believe in the nekudas ha'hovesh? Do I believe in the moment that I'm in? Or do I spend my whole life dreaming of something else? Amalek is very good at getting us the bitterness of Amalek and the negativity and cynicism of Amalek is this whole inyan. To not believe in the nekudas ha'hovesh shelo. That's why the Sfarim say that if you look at the end of B'shalach, Chiyat al Keska, Amalek comes and they take away the Vav Hay of Hashem's name. So if I have a Yod and a Hay, so I can create the name of Hashem, right? Haya Hovev Yihya. So if I have a Yod and a Hay, I can have Haya, I can talk about my past. If I have a Yod and a Hay, I can talk about Yihya, I can talk about my future. But I don't have Hovev. If I don't have Vav and Hay, I can't make Hovev. This is Rabbi Nachman's famous piece, Reish Ayin Beis. Hayom in Bekola Tishmo, to live in the moment. Amalek destroys the moment. So Amalek tells you, the past was better, the future could be better. And in the end, you end up walking around embittered in the moment, not believing that this moment has any value to it. When you realize that a moment of life, even a simplistic moment of religious living, is an unbelievable opportunity. Ki ahova hu makom abachiro. The Hove is the place of choice. Right now we're making a choice to be learning Torah, to be sitting here. But maybe later I'll have to do something else. Okay. But I walk out feeling that I was Zocha. Mokum Mesiras HaNefesh. The place of Mesiras HaNefesh is when you make the choice in the moment. The choice is not only what you choose to do, but how you choose to view what you did. And Hova HaTalia. I'm going to choose to learn Torah for a short period of time. If I value a short period of time of Torah. If I don't value a short period of time of Torah, so I'll say, what's the point of learning? It's just a minute anyways. What's the point of picking up a Tehillim, you know, for 5 seconds? Right? If I know in 5 seconds from now, I'm going to have to put it down. Because maybe we'll say 2 words of Tehillim. It's a good thing. So again, that Bechira is choosing, what to do, but more than that, choosing how to view what I can do in that moment. Look at the footnote, it's very powerful. He writes in footnote Chavches, Ureza Pella. Sometimes you meet a Jew, Sheshlecha Yehudi Achai, Bistaklis Achitzonis, Veyakshiv Rak Hidr Mitzvah, Shutachlis Ashlemis Ve'enei Abrios. Sometimes a Jew gets very into a mitzvah, where what? Where he gets to walk around with it. And people say, Wah, look at that Esrog. Right? Look at that Lulav. He goes, Mitzvah Arvaminim, he says. Or a Sefer Torah. Where a person's going to see your mitzvah, then he's very into it. People are going to see how much you're learning. People are very into that. Now he goes to buy tefillin. He's deciding what parsha should he put in his tefillin that no one's going to see. So it says with Kluger, Achinei Omid Lirchosh Tefillin, Vafal Pisha Yisrael Efshas Lirchosh Parshios Misofer Stam, Bal Ksav Yafim Mehudur L'Ma'od. Let's say he decides, you know, instead of just getting the Tefillin that have the fanciest Ksav, I'm going to buy Tefillin from a Sofer Stam. Hayudu Elo Shu Tzadik B'maitza V'tom Bal Yichosav U'yarei Shemayim Hadavak B'Hashem Yisbarach B'Bar Leva. I'm going to buy a Tefillin. Maybe his Ksav's, it's perfectly kosher, maybe his Ksav's not as, you know, artistic as the other sofer, but this person is such a fine Jew. He has all the signs of a true Yarei Shemayim. He's a tzaddik b'maisav. He's talmid b'halichosav. He's davak b'Hashem. You never know what a person does. You know, but you know, this guy has every sign, everything you know about this person. This person's mamash a tzaddik. I would want my tefillin written from such a person, from such an neshama, from such a heart. So he decides to buy those tefillin, even though it's not the most, you know, aesthetically the most beautiful tefillin of all. But the emes, what does Hashem want? Hashem wants someone who just has a nice handwriting. Hashem wants you to buy tefillin from a person who's infusing those tefillin with all of the holy ritzonos that the sofer infuses the tefillin with. Ki omer belibo, achein ve'enei abrios, lo yachshav kol kach hider kazeh, amavakesh ani achar hayakar be'enei Hashem. I know people may not appreciate, people may not understand why I chose to go to that particular sofer. He doesn't have necessarily the same reputation for having the most beautiful parshios in the world. Yeah, they're perfectly kosher, they're perfectly muhudar. But why not go to the guy who has the most beautiful parsha in the world? You know why? Because the guy who has the most beautiful parshas in the world, I don't know, when I see him around, he doesn't strike me as a person, right? He has a tremendous artistic talent, so he's able to be a beautiful sofer. But he doesn't strike me as being having the same depth of neshama as this other sofer. So now look what he says in the last paragraph. In the footnote, Uba Pashtas Yomar Pashtan. So again, the Pashtan is going to say to himself, Shaparshil Tfilin Reim Davar Shabitzina. Sharei Sugurus Babatim Ein Roh. No one sees the Tfilin anyway. Valkain Ein Lo Bifnei Miles Hader. He says, oh, what's the point, anyways? Right? Everybody make a big deal out of the Hidr, but the Tfilin. No one's going to see the Parshios, anyways. He says, Vahalamdan. Right after the parentheses, Va'alamdan Yasbiel Hashitas Rabbeinu Tam. Person is a little more knowledgeable. He'll say, "Well, Rabbeinu Tam and Nachos Lamed Beis actually says that the whole Indian of Hidur Mitzvah is dafka by something that can be seen. So it's not even an Indian of Hidur Mitzvah when it comes to tefillin. Shadini of the Mitzvah Shayach Rach Bedavar Anigla La'ayin Ka'osti Yosefer Torah. If you look at tefillin, a little bit of tefillin Shaksa Mechusa, and we'll give all sorts of love. This why I don't have to be as particular about this. But again." That's only if my whole orientation, my whole perspective, is what can my physical eyes see? What do the physical eyes of others see? That's not trying to see with an eye that's pnimi. It's not seeing with the Einei Hashem. Achamevin Yavin, where it's underlined. Shebe pnimius and efesh, ain't a davar kein. But a person who's of deep understanding knows that in pnimius that's not true. El parshas tefillin kevin she'ein roa me'enei ha'olam nichlus v'bala soto lavo pnimi. The very fact that the tefillin can't be seen imbues it with a certain inner quality, which of course I want to enhance. I want to enhance my chitonius or my pnimius more. I want to enhance my pnimius more. So the very fact that people can't see it, a person of deep... obviously, yes, in halacha, there is that shita of Rabbeinu Tam. There is something about a hiddur mitzvah that's done externally. And therefore, if I'm a serious Jew, I'm going to want the tefillin that I know that Hashem would desire. Okay, back up top of the last paragraph. Soda is chaskos. Let's just do a little bit more. We're not going to finish the whole piece, I don't think, because I want to get to something else today, but let's just do a little bit more. Soda is chaskos. So now, let's say you want to give chizik to a person. So Kluger says, you can only give chizik in the following fashion. Chizik only works in a meaningful way in the following fashion. It's a very important yisod he has here. Look what he says. Let's go a step further. He says, omek sod shigilu. How do you give chizuk to someone? How do you give chizuk? How do you receive chizuk? Ki amusag hizchazkus eno shayach klal eitzel achai al pi estaklis olam achitzoni v'lo toilu. If you try to mechazik a person who's living in a chitzoni way, it's not going to work. You know why? He gives a very simple mashal. Sharei ze she'ibed hon toafos. Imagine a person lost a massive sum of money. Ketzad yomar lo lischazik b'zeh she'ish lo pruta b'kiso. Imagine you say to a person lost $10 million. And you say to him, well, you know, the truth is, I noticed that I was in your house, and I know, you know, I see that you're all upset. You lost $10 million. But I noticed, I was, I bent down, I dropped my car key, and I bent down for a second. I noticed there was a dollar bill under your couch. So here's the dollar bill. You just got a lot of chizik from that. You have a dollar. So the guy says, well, you found the dollar under my couch. Do you realize my bank account had $10 million in it, and now it's empty? So you found a dollar under my couch? That's a chizik for me. You try to say to the person who lost hon tofos, you say to him, Mechazik, you have a pruta in your pocket. Right? I can see a $5 bill sticking out of your pocket. Don't worry, it's going to be okay. You don't get it. I lost $10 million. Haritan chumim shall have a lame. So the person says, get out of my face. That's not Mechazik me at all. You're just highlighting how broken I am. She'eich tenachim a pruta ala hon shahayu veinena. How is this $5 bill, how is this dollar bill going to help me to Mechazik myself after I lost all my money? Because through an outer perspective, $10 million is a tremendous amount of money. Having $5 TNA means you're an ani, you're a poor person. The same thing is true when a person needs chizuk and ruchnius. A person did a terrible avera, and they feel very, very broken over it. And you say to them, go put a quarter in the pushka. You'll feel a lot better. No, I won't. I'm disgusted by what I did. I made a horrible choice. You say to them, well, you know, the good news is, right? The good news is, you know, I noticed that there's a kosher pair of tzitzis in your dorm room, so go put them on. So it's not going to change. It doesn't fix everything, right? It's a dollar, and I feel like I lost $10 million. How does that help me? Turn the page. So therefore, the only way to give real chizuk or to receive real chizuk is to actually believe in the idea that we're talking about. To believe that the drop of ocean contains the entire ocean. To believe that a drop of chesed has a taste of the entire chesed, of the entirety of Gemilas Chasadim. And a word of Torah has the entirety of Torah within it. And one word of tefillah can move a person so, so far in the Olam HaSalyonim. V'ram ein lecha chizuk be'ein lecha chizuk be'emes. Sorry, ein lecha chizuk emes ki em be'yoscha okro me'estaklis chitzonis shal anechsha be'enei ha'olam ve'yoscha molicha l'estaklis shal enei ha'olam ha'pnimi. The biggest chizuk you can give a person is to help him change his orientation. To change the perspective. That he shouldn't, if you're going to try to say, well, good news, you still have $5. $5 doesn't mean anything to him compared to what he's lost. So the real chizik is to what? Is to shift his perspective from a staklus chitzonis to what? To a staklus shal enei ha'olam ha'pnimi. V'sham yizbar ma nechshav ha'shleimus ha'mitus b'enei Hashem. And then he can start to rebuild. Because as far as he's concerned, he lost everything. There's no way for him to rebuild. If you can explain to him, if you can teach him, if you can get him to actually believe that in Hashem's eyes, success and failure is viewed a little bit differently, so that's a real chizuk. B'zeh yischazek Yehudi v'yisnachek. Sh'ray asich liyem ha-to'amim al-sfas ha-briya lo yif'alu chizuk b'leiv. Because again, the way that the world tries to talk, the way that the world sees things, it's not going to work. Kol zman shelo yifalu b'socho shinoi pnimi lahavenes mitziuso atova b'eni Hashem b'darga sh'omid ba. Until a Jew believes that as long as I'm a Jew, Hashem loves me, then he feels that there's what to talk about. Then I have a lot. You have a chelak elo kabi mal. Yeah, but I made some really bad choices. I lost $10 million. Okay. But don't you realize that your very essence is worth more than $10 million? Don't you realize that every mitzvah you do is also worth an infinite amount? So when you change a person's perspective, you give them real chizuk. Ki a chizuk ha'amiti hu rak ha'meyir ha'sastaklis Hashem Yisbarach ala adam. Kalashon lakutim aran, by the arrow. Kol tenua u tenua shu menatek atzom ma'at ma'at min gashmi uso. Upona la Hashem Yisbarach. Hi gedol v'yakar ma'od ma'od. Isn't it interesting, the pasuk I mentioned before, tov ma'at l'tzadik. Isn't it interesting that the tzadik cares about ma'at? The tzaddik really is a huge person. So why does Rav Charlap, who's already such a huge person, have to go chasing after another crumb of ruchnias to see how some rebbe makes Abdullah, because he heard he could learn something from them? The answer is because those little things add up. It's the Gemara at the end of Sukkah. How at the end of days, the tzaddikim and the Rasham are going to see the Yitzhar and they're both going to be crying. And the tzaddikim are going to be crying and say, how did I ever conquer such a big mountain? And the Rasham are going to say, how did I fail to fall into the clutches of the Yitzhar when he's just a little thread? So which is it? Is he easy? Is he not easy? Is the Yitzhar a big enemy or is he a small enemy? So the Chiddush Urim said, it's a small enemy that compounds itself a lot of times over. So really, if I can just look at each little thing as being, you know, a small detail, but a big deal, that's how the tzaddik looks at it. So the tzaddik beat the Yitzhar, because he saw every little thing the Yitzhar tried to do to him. On the one hand, he beat it because he made it into something small. On the other hand, he took it seriously. He made it into something big. So yes, is it a mountain or is it a thread? The answer is it's a mountain made of threads. A tzaddik becomes great because tov ma'at l'tzaddik, because every little bit he values. And it adds up, and it adds up, and it adds up. So much so that when he becomes such a big person, we look at him, we see him as a mountain, he's still interested in the crumb. The Vilna Gaon is worried about every second of Bittul Torah. We're the ones who need to worry about Bittul Torah. We have a lot of Bittul Torah. He's fine. So it's going to be 3 minutes, maybe 3.5 minutes a year. It'll be okay. Right? But again, by a tzaddik, he understands that every little thing is a value. Now, with a healthy perspective, that's a chizuk. That's not overwhelming, that's mechazik us. So again, look at the words of Rabbi Nachman. Kol tenuah tenuah shumenatik atzom ma'at ma'at min gashmiuso upona la'Hashem yisparach he gedol v'yakar ma'od ma'od. When a person moves even a drop down here, it might not feel like you moved very much. And people may not say, wow, what a great accomplishment. When you detach yourself just a bit from a Kaddish Baruch Hu, who rots b'zeh kam of a kam alaf and parsos b'olam asalyonu. A tiny step down below is traveling tens of thousands of parsas above. When a Jew makes a tiny move down below, a Kaddish Baruch Hu treats that as a very big deal up above. That's how some explain the Rashi and Chumash that says that because Hashem loves us so much, He counts us, He's mono some, He counts Klal Yisrael, b'chol shah, all the time. Hashem is constantly counting the Jewish people. He counts us in Vayigash, enumerated again at the beginning of Shemos, again in Bamidbar. Right, so Rashi in a few places says Hashem loves us, so He's always counting us. He's counting them b'chol shah. So I think it was the Kamar Rebbe who said that kol shah, shah also means the Lashon of what? Cain killed Hevel because he was jealous of the fact that what? That to Cain and his mincha, HaKadosh Baruch Hu was not Sha'a. Hashem didn't turn towards Cain and his mincha. Sha'a can mean time, it could also mean to turn. So Hashem loves us so much, He counts kol Sha'a means what? He counts every move that we make. So we might not think, oh, it's such a big deal. So you know, a bus drove by and there's an inappropriate billboard. So I turned my head to the side for half a second and the bus drove away. My friend was saying a nasty comment, right? He was saying a word of Lashon Hara. And I walked away for a second, right? And I didn't feel like it was such a great accomplishment. I didn't feel like I was such a... I really decided, you know what, I'm going to say Amen to a bracha with a little bit extra kavanah. Someone said a bracha and I said, oh, Amen, I really meant it. I don't feel like I just changed my whole world. But from Hashem's perspective, you just traveled very, very far. He's traveled a great distance. So that's what it means. Hashem loves us. He counts kol shah. He counts every move that we make. You might think it's just a little turn. What's the big deal does it make? How much do I change from a slight shah, a slight turn? I turn my body towards Hashem, or a little away from my Yetzirah. That's such a big deal. In the Olam HaSel Yonim, it's a big deal. Let's just finish. Says Rav Kluger. U'mikan yesh lahavin. You can't give real chizik to a person in a way that's going to be lasting. That it should be taken to heart by the one who's receiving the chizik. If you don't have an elevated perspective, your chizik is going to be empty words. It's like saying to the guy who lost $10 million, don't worry, you have $5 in your pocket. That doesn't help. That makes him feel worse. But a person who genuinely understands is able to say to a person, he understands the real value of the person, and says to the person, "Be'emes, no, Hashem really still cares about you. And a little mitzvah you can do can make up for a lot of lost time." Because again, that word can't hit home unless it comes from a higher place. And a higher place means the higher perspective on how we look at ourselves and how we look at the world. It's only a person who has that perspective who's able to what? Who's able to truly give chizik. Let's just read the left column of page Kufay and Vav and then we'll stop. Okay, because Jojo mentioned earlier, how do we see ourselves in comparison to others is very important. So we'll end with this. Kasher Yehudi roa bavodas adam Hashem adam nosaf milvado. When I look at others, that doesn't mean that I never look towards others, but when I look at others, when I see anyone other than myself when it comes to avodas Hashem, this whole thing is just im'ein ani li mili. It's Pirkei Avos. Im'ein ani li mili. Which means it's not a competition. It's not me versus anyone. So when a Jew sees in avodas Hashem anyone other than himself, v'lo rakas ratzon Hashem yisparach avenu, and he's not asking the question, what does Hashem want from me? That is such a hard question to ask because there are so many others around us. And some of them are very inspiring Jews. And they're very good Jews. And they do a lot for Hashem. And you feel like, what do I do compared to that person? But that is pure Yetzirah, because that's not how the system is structured. It's not you versus anyone else. It's you versus you. You don't look at what Hashem wants from you. Then a person's going to be what? He's not going to be settled. And he'll constantly be pained over the fact that he's not on the same level as someone else. There's always going to be someone who's better than you. So a person says, well, you know, I'm X, Y, or Z, but so-and-so is all those things and more. So, and then for what? Right, no one's going to deceive himself to think I'm the best person ever. So there's always going to be someone better. Everyone thinks there's someone better. So if I'm looking at others, I'm always going to feel that my avoda is second class. When a person looks towards his own shleimus, and even if a person again tries to rejoice in his own shleimus, again if it's still if you're comparing yourself to someone else at the end of the day, that's not it. Lo tanuach daito be'emes lamito be'pnimius omek nafsho rakasher yavin shmitzad estaklis shal Hashem yizbarach yesh loas hashlemus amuchlatis. If you're going to say I'm better than so and so, right? That gives me simcha, but I'm worse than so and so, that makes me depressed, right? That whole system, says Rav Kluger, is corrupted. You're only going to have a yishuv hadas, this emes lamito, when a person says I can be shalim in the way that I need to be shalim. And it's not in comparison to someone who I feel that I'm better than, and it's not in comparison to someone who I feel that I'm worse than. I have the ability to achieve shleimus muchlat, this complete perfection, internal perfection. My internal perfection might be very different than my neighbor's. For him, and that is the best for you. But what if I would have been born into this family? What if I would have had this family? What if I would have had this friend? What if I would have... Okay? V'chulu, v'chulu, v'chulu. But there's no mistakes. As a great Jew, by the name of Albert Einstein once said, God doesn't play dice with the universe. He said it in a very different context. Right? I don't think he was reading Rav Kluger at the time. But Albert Einstein said, essentially, there's no chance. It's not an accident. Hashem didn't mess up and put you in like a family or in a setting, in an environment with a Yitzhahara, with a this, with a intellectual strength which has advantages and disadvantages, or an intellectual weaknesses which has advantages and disadvantages, or health, or pranasa. It's all precisely calibrated. Umikan, last paragraph, Simchas Yehudi b'chelko b'gashmias, v'chol ha'anyonim shekotzelo Hashem Yisbarach l'chelko b'chayim, ha b'ha talia. To be able to be a happy Jew, to be able to be appreciative, and to be able to be with Yishuv Adas, all these things are connected. If I have the right perspective on the big picture, and on the right perspective on the small picture, and to realize that the small picture is the big picture, and the big picture is the small picture. If I believe that, again, in the Nekuta Sahova, that the place that I am gives Nachas Ruach to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, va'afilu ba'ma'at, and if it's a time when I can't do a lot, and I do a little, and I be'emes can't do more than a little, then I should be very proud of the little that I've done. And I don't walk around with my head hung low because my friend did a lot more than me that day. Then you'll be filled with tremendous joy and a sense of accomplishment, an emistic sense of accomplishment for that which HaKadosh Baruch Hu has chosen you for. But if you don't live this way, if you feel that Hashem put you in this world to fail and Hashem gave you none of the tools that He gave everyone else to achieve, then it'll be very difficult for a person. It'll be kasha for a person. It'll be very difficult for a person to find himself in this world. And he can live, Rahman al-Latsan, a very bitter existence. On the last page, he just has a footnote. He says, it's very interesting. Sometimes when a person is trying to connect to someone who's no longer alive, right? Let's say a person, it's true about a person, it was interesting. I gave a woman's shir the other night. And a woman said to me, she said her oldest is having a bas mitzvah soon, and she's trying to figure out what to do. You know, living in America, she said, if I lived in Eretz Yisrael, I'd go to a mountaintop, and I'd set up a tent, and get some paper plates, and it would be an emistic simcha. But here I just feel there's so much pressure to do all these different things. Right? Now, a lot of the way that we think to enhance a simcha, right? Or, as he says in the footnote at the final page, he says, let's say a person with a yard sign is coming up. A person wants to do something big for the neshama that's no longer here. A person gets very overwhelmed. They feel like, I want to learn a whole mesechta or something, but I don't have the time to do that. And right, but I feel like if I do anything less, it's not worth it. He says, realize that the neshama who you're trying to bring a nachas ruach to, the neshama that you're trying to elevate, is in the world of emes. And in the world of emes, they're so appreciative for every little thing. So down here, you feel, oh, if it's not big, if it's not grandiose, then it's not anything. But remind yourself, take a breath and realize that that neshama, if you make a bracha that day and you think about that neshama, then gvaldik. You know, if you do something small, that's also a big deal. It's all our mishagas in this world that real success is only, again, and it's because we brought that kli chitzoni from the world of chitzonius into the world of pnimius. So therefore, when it comes to making a simcha, a person feels like something different, something creative, something unique, right? But if we would just be healthy and wholesome about what a simcha of a bar mitzvah, of a wedding, of any accomplishment in Yiddishkeit is, if we'd have the right orientation and perspective towards it, so that we wouldn't be so crazy. We'd be able to realize that we're good in the eyes of a Kodesh Baruch Hu. And then a person can get chizik and can give chizik. You have to say it like you mean it. The more you mean it, the more you live with this idea, and you have these this pnimius viewpoint on reality, so then a person can be a success wherever he is, whatever he is, whoever he is. Okay, Rav George, you wanted to say something?
Yeah, how does one do this in a place where literally the whole, everything in the place is competition, everything in the place is
one? So don't play. Don't compete. That was what he was describing at the very beginning of the piece, when he was kind of painting this picture of a guy standing in his corner. Right? He's doing his own thing. He lives with Hashem. He doesn't care. If people don't get him, it's okay. Hashem gets you. Hashem gets it. If you're sincere, if you're emistic, if you're honest. Again, you have to be careful with this type of piece that you don't sell yourself short. That you don't say, okay, so everything is great and everything is gevaldik, and that's all true. If a person can do more, you should do more. But it should never be that I walk around feeling depressed, right? Because it took me forever to learn through a pasuk, a chumash with Rashi. It took me forever to learn one daf of Gemara, where my friend is making siyuma mesechtos all the time. That is so irrelevant to your avodas Hashem. You should be happy for your friend. Hashem gave him a certain challenge and a certain ability, and he's working towards it. And who knows? At the end of the day, maybe you're accomplishing more. Maybe you're doing more, meeting more of your potential than he is. Superficially, by the standards of the world, he's a big success. The guy who gave $1 million at tzedakah, he's going to get a plaque on the wall. But it could be the dollar that you gave was with greater mesiras nefesh than his $1 million. And in Hashem's eyes, it's much more illuminated avodah. Yeah.
Is one able to take this way of living in pnimius and bring it into the way you have to live chitzonius also? Because, I mean, just sound,
meaning what?
It sounds like they don't go together. Meaning, like the guy who lost $10 million and then gets a dollar, or you know,
right.
you get a D on a test instead of an A, and you didn't get an A, and you got a
right.
D, and that's not good, you know.
Right, so, meaning the aspects of our life that force us to play by the rules of chitzonius.
Yeah.
Right, so the facts are the facts. The D on the test, you know, will in some ways, I guess, affect your chitzonius reality. But I guess if my primary perspective on reality is the pnimius type of viewpoint, so then I don't become overwhelmed by my failures in the... Yes, we are human beings, neshama beguf, and we have to play by chitzonius also. We play by the rules of chitzonius. So if I want to keep my job, sometimes I have to be successful in a chitzonius level for my boss to say I'm doing a good job. But I can't allow that to, impact my etzem of my chiyus, right? That my essential...
That's
hard. Of course it's hard, because the world around us is playing by different rules.
It seems like it's also bad if we let the pnimius spill over into the chitzonius. It also seems like not a good thing. Obviously you can't bring that chitzonius perspective into the pnimius, but if you bring that pnimius out, kind of sounds like the opposite of what we always talk about, is that we have to make things more pnimius, but chitzonius seems like it just has to be chitzonius, because if you make
it depends... There's going to be other people around me who I am going to interact with, and I'm going to need to perform in a certain way in order to achieve a certain level of success that will allow the people around me to allow me to keep my job, let's say, again, just using that mashal again. But I think even the guy who lost $10 million, while through the chitonis perspective, of course, saying you have $5 in your pocket doesn't help, but if my overall attitude, if my goals in life are not, if my big picture of what I want to be, and the end of my life, my report card, is a pnimius report card as opposed to a chitonis report card, so then I can be successful in a very different way. What? Your pnimius report card is, did I live up to my potential? And was that machshiv every bit of avodas Hashem? It's very insulting to say to HaKadosh Baruch Hu, right, that I didn't accomplish much because I only learned a little bit of Torah. Hashem says, that's crazy. Do you have any idea what a little bit of Torah is? So I have to be careful. So Rob's correct. Yes, sometimes you have to play by the rules of the world. But I think we do try to make sure that we take the pnimius perspective with us at all times. That doesn't mean that it's appropriate to apply it to every situation. Your boss may not be practical and helpful as a neshama of a guf who's still bound by the rules of Olam Hazeh to say to my boss, well, you know, I learned in Rav Kluger, right, that success is defined. So I know you had 100 expectations, I only met one of them. So you should just realize that your perspective is off. In his world, his perspective is not off. And it's not your job to impose the Olam HaPnimi upon him. But to carry it with you in such a degree that you don't lose sight of that as again, at the end of my life, I want to be scored by, was I successful in Hashem's eyes, not was I successful in my boss's eyes. And sometimes that means I will fail in the realm of chitzonius. But I don't become overwhelmed by that, because that's not the big picture of my life. That's not what I'm trying to achieve. Big picture. But again, the ikker certainly is, again, we're talking more in Avodas Hashem here, and within Avodas Hashem, a person just has to know the facts, that a crumb of Avodas Hashem is a big deal. And a Jew has to be able to take chizik from that, and not feel, yeah, but there's so many big mistakes, and there's no way to clean up and to rebuild. Look in the Igeres HaTshuva, the Baal HaTanya. On the one hand, it's a big chizik, on the other hand, it's extremely dangerous, where he says, do you really think that your Avera really hurts Hashem so much? Like, who do you think you are that your Avera is so... I did this terrible Avera on it, you know? So on the one hand, you have to live with, oh my gosh, any tiny Avera destroys Olamos. And on the other hand, compared to Hashem's infinite existence, you think your little Avera made such a big deal? So you use that for tshuva. There's before and there's after. You don't use that as an excuse to do an Avera. But after the fact, you're mechazik yourself with that as a apologetic chizuk, as a truth. To compare to Hashem's infinite existence, your Avera is nothing. And you compare to your... So you think, oh, your friend's such a Baal Madrega, he finished Shas 10,000 times. And you've never finished Shas even once. Do you think compared to Hashem, you're one, you're not finishing Shas once, and his 10,000 times? Do you think compared to the infinite, they're both nothing. They're both literally nothing compared to Hashem. So again, as you can see, we don't judge based on comparisons. It's you versus you. And it's you, that's why I love that footnote that he has with the tefillin. What do I want on the inside of my tefillin? Do I want something that makes Hashem happy? Do I only perform a certain way when others are watching? Sometimes we need that chizik of other people watching to inspire ourselves to make good choices. But at the end of the day, can I be alone? Can I be alone with just me and Hashem and feel that I'm serving Hashem be'emes? That's the challenge. Yeah.
One thing that's, you know, that I feel that is very challenging is that we're like very hardwired, like as human beings. And I'm saying, like, we're always surrounded by these Kitsonian ideas. Like, if you don't get an A, you're a failure. You know what I'm saying?
So that's why we need to read Rav Kluger, who's trying to help us to be proper Jews. Of course, that's what he's saying. The whole world has a different orientation towards success. That's a big deal. That can be very, very damaging to a Jew whose primary existence operates by a totally different system.
Like, there's no general consensus of what is greatness. Like, that's silly, you know? It's totally silly. Like, everyone has...
Okay, so then we have to... But that's the challenge. You're coming from a world where greatness... If, again, the mashal I gave of a person who loves sports, right? So the guy who's a bench player is not... He's just not great. He's not great. Now, you could say, hold on a second, what do you mean? He's in the NBA. But no one's going to say that. Because again, the more chitzoni you're looking at things, the more it's like, yeah. Even by the world standard, that should be a great accomplishment. He made it to the NBA. But it's still, no one gives him kavod. He's not the top guy.
Sure, his talent isn't coming.
Okay, so there's Madrigos. There's obviously going to be Madrigos in any system. The goal is to keep moving towards the world of Pnimius. And again, in the Vodas Hashem, every crumb matters.
So we should constantly be reminding ourselves of that after, you know, every time that we feel, you know, that we start thinking like greatness.
When we get that first, you know, when you get the job or don't get the job, you have to stay normal with this idea. That having the approval of some business person who gave me this great job, I should be proud of myself, I should feel good, I should be appreciative that Baruch Hashem, now I have a means of making a living. But at the same time, you know, look, that's not what my life's about. No, Hashem created me. Right? And again, especially not to become competitive in avodas Hashem. It's very destructive. Okay, Shkoyach.